This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Live from the Podcast Zone at the NINA 2013 Conference and Expo in the Charlotte Convention Center, it's Within the Trenches with your host, Ricardo Martinez.
What's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be a special episode of Within the Trenches. And I am currently within the Charlotte Convention Center, and this is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is going to be for the 2003 NINA Conference and Expo.
Okay, wait a minute. 2003? No, actually, I meant 2013. Yeah, I was exhausted. So, well, you'll get what I'm talking about once you hear the rest of what happened to me this morning.
And things have been going great so far. However, when I first got here, actually I left yesterday. It was about 4 p.m. I drove straight through and I got here around 5 a.m. And when I went to go check into the hotel, their computer was destroyed and they lost my reservation. And I went from hotel to hotel trying to find a place to sleep for a little bit, but everybody kept telling me, no, you can't check in until after 3 o'clock. Well, I luckily found a hotel that had an employee that was not getting relieved by another employee. And I asked if I could go ahead and check in. And she said, yeah, go ahead. I don't really care right now. So I thought, yes, I am going to get some sleep. So I took a 2-hour power nap and I've been going ever since. Either way, it's been great. And for this episode, and actually I should have said it right in the beginning, this episode is actually sponsored by NINA as well as the Cool Kids of 911. You can find them on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/CoolKidsOf911. You can check them out. They got some great stuff on there. But for this episode, I'm going to be speaking with two of New Hanover County 911's finest out of Wilmington, North Carolina. I've got Megan and Erica. How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going great.
Excellent. Excellent. So what all have you guys seen today here in this conference? What all have you guys done?
Well, yesterday we spent...
it's a funny story, actually. I think really, you should tell
it. All right.
Really funny story.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Okay, so we came and we signed in. We registered. We didn't ask any questions. Mm-hmm. Of course, we assumed everything
all
was
right.
Taken care of.
Yeah.
So we went into a class and caught in the middle. Fantastic class, mm-hmm. by the way. I met the director, Brian, who is behind us now. Mm-hmm. And through the class, we're realizing that everybody in there are supervisors or higher than we are.
We're telecommunicators.
Directors.
Yeah.
HR, like, wow. Financing. And we go around the room, we meet and greet, and me and Megan are like, well, we're from New Hanover County, 911 in Wilmington. We're telecommunicators. Yeah, but you know what? No one said anything. I didn't feel little. I didn't feel like I didn't belong.
Oh, well,
me
good,
and
then.
Megan learned some fantastic mm-hmm. stuff to take back to the call center. Mm-hmm. But speaking to Brian,
yeah.
This is where it gets real good.
Yeah.
We want to know about how to move up. Because uh-huh. we were doing the middle management and then being able to go up upper management. Mm-hmm. He said we should go register for his next class. So we go on break and I go downstairs to register. And
this break is at 2 o'clock,
mind you.
We started the class at 8 o'clock in the morning. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whoa.
And the class ends at 4:30. And we come down and we speak to Bree Robinson mm-hmm. and she goes, you're only registered for one class.
Oh, no.
This class costs $250.
So
who wrote the check?
Our department's going to be getting invoice for $500 for a class that we weren't registered, but we went and sat down, and poor guy was like, I don't have enough books, but yeah, whatever. You know, he was missing some books because mm-hmm. we just kind of walked in and sat down and made ourselves comfortable.
Right. This is how it's going to be.
Right. We're here. We're going to learn.
Right.
And we did. And I went to Brian and told him the situation. He's like, it's 2 o'clock. You're finishing out the class.
Yeah.
All right.
So luckily we got
that's
to
good.
Finish.
We got finished. We got mm-hmm. great notes.
$500 later.
$500 later.
We not coming out of my pocket.
I can be a supervisor soon. I have great information.
Yeah.
That's great. So, but I can just imagine what it's going to be like. They're opening up the mail. What is this invoice for?
Yeah. And that's like, you know, it's not our fault. We made contact with our department. We let them know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so today, what we came for was
The welcome reception.
Welcome reception. And tomorrow, we're looking for the rest of the week. That's when everything starts. We get to go to all the booths, all the vendors. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to do the keynote mm-hmm. tomorrow. That's from 8 till 10. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm really looking for. What was the guy's name?
Mike Ashcroft or something.
He did
this.
Oh,
okay. It's Your Ship.
It's Your Ship. He wrote that book. And I really would love to hear that. And that's what we're looking forward to. This is first time for both of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm meeting and seeing and hearing. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm like, this is like an all-star game for me. I feel
yeah.
like
right? yeah.
I am LeBron James' sister.
We can get.
I'm LeBron James' sister. I'm Erica James.
Yes. I knew one day I would meet you. I'm so happy. So with everything that you guys are learning, how important do you think it is for, you know, other dispatchers to come out and do the same thing?
Oh, I think it would be a wonderful idea, especially if every department could take at least some money to budget away to send two or maybe three of their telecommunicators mm-hmm. to something like this, because right. there's so much that we've learned even in that class to take back. And then just from speaking with all the different supervisors and mm-hmm. directors that they already have coming, we have learned so much in the past 2 to 3 days than any class could teach us, just through meeting the other people from different departments and what they go through with the fire-only dispatch or police-only, or they dispatch for utility companies as well. There's so many different things that we can learn just from communicating with other people.
Right.
The networking is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The networking.
You get to meet people and know their positions and mm-hmm. know and understand. Maybe just in our agency, we can't move up, but you can take this and, like me and Michael was saying, go anywhere in the state.
Right, yeah.
You can take this is one of the best career moves I've ever made.
That's great. And, you know, the other thing, too, going along with that, you were the dispatcher of the year last year.
Telecommunicator of the year last year.
Okay, so, you know, you can also take that with you. Now, what drove you to 911? Like, what really excited you about this profession?
To be honest, I went on New Hanover County's website, the mm-hmm. local website, mm-hmm. and I saw they were hiring. I had no clue what I was getting myself into. I went into the interview and I met my director and assistant director. And from that moment, sitting at the table, and we had a verbal conversation that drew me to saying, I want to see what this is. And the first thing out of Warren's mouth was, I hope you're not here for a paycheck, because it's much more.
Right. Yeah.
And I've learned that for the last 3.5 years is much more. It is so gratifying that I get to answer the phone, that I get to step outside of my realm and come answer this phone and help people. We actually help people.
Right.
And I don't care about somebody saying, I pay your salary. It doesn't matter what you pay for me. You're going to get my 110%. I'm going to help you.
Right.
And that's after training, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to find out what 911 was about. My first call taught me that, what it was about, and I've been hooked ever since.
What was your first call to your...
My first call was a young lady about maybe 12, 14, mm-hmm. and her mother had overdosed.
Okay.
And that was my first call I could remember. I had to make this connection with this young lady, and she found a note, she found her mother. And when I made that connection, she didn't want to speak to anybody else. I walked her all the way through until the officer came, and I had to get another female officer there. It was a male officer. She didn't want to speak to anybody, and we mm-hmm. spoke the whole time. And normally we have to disconnect when the officer gets on scene.
Right.
She wouldn't, because my voice is what she knew. And at that point, she lost her mother, and I was the only thing. I was her lifeline. And when I ended that call, I went outside and literally just broke down. Mm-hmm. It was so emotional.
Right.
But I had to keep it together that whole phone call.
Of course. Yeah.
And it was fine. And my trainer at the time, my CTO at the time, he said, welcome to 911.
Yeah, exactly. And see, and that's a good thing for the public to hear, because, you know, a lot of times people just think that we're just answering the phone. Mm-hmm. We're just taking the call. But we're emotionally involved, and you proved that just now.
Yes.
You know, geez, I got goosebumps just listening to you talk about that call. But
it's no way to, it's a stressful job is what they were saying. That's mm-hmm. an understatement. It's no way, even when Megan was my CTO, she assisted with training me. Mm-hmm. It's no way that we can't be emotionally connected.
Right.
But I'm not going to give you a downside of it. I'm going to give you 110%, but I feel everything that somebody's going through because I thank God it's not me.
Right.
But I want to help them.
Exactly. Now, Megan, how did you get into 9-on-1?
I kind of got into it the same way that Erica did. Mm-hmm. I was a single mom and looking for a job. So when I went on to the New Hanover County website, I saw that there was telecommunicators, and I thought, well, you know, I like to talk on the phone. I like to talk to people. I can type pretty fast. But yeah, whatever. Let's try this out. They called me for an interview, and little did I know, you walk into a room, and there's 8 people sitting in front of you. No idea. I thought it was just going to be a one-on-one thing. No, right, I walked in there with 8 women sitting around me, and half of them were supervisors. They were assistant supervisors on the floor, telecommunicators, and then the director. Mm. And I'll tell you what, one of the supervisors sitting on the board scared me to death. She asked me questions that I did not even want to answer. I walked out of the interview room, my head down. I was so embarrassed. That's a terrible interview. I won't ever get the job. Got to my car, got in my car, started to drive away, pulled back around, got back in the parking lot, went back into the room and knocked on the door. And I opened the door and I was like, you know what? That was a really bad interview, but this is who I am and I want this job. Because I enjoy... originally wanted to go to school for nursing, and I really enjoy helping people. That is just my main concern. Like, I want to make sure everybody's comfortable, and being on the phone and knowing that you're providing that kind of assistance to somebody, you're their voice, you're their calm. That really is what kind of kept me going in this career, is because I really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell the officers where they can go and where they can't go.
Exactly.
Can I go eat? Nope. I'll put you on a list. Right. You're taking my reports.
So you actually have the reigning title.
I do.
Yeah. Now, how does that process work? It's voted on. Now,
by your employees.
Is it calls that you've taken that they go off of, or just like your overall attitude towards the job, or how does that work?
It's a lot of different things built into one. And I mean, it's your dedication, your hard work, you know, what you put into the job, and it's voted upon by your peers, you know, and then our admin and our supervisors, everybody votes on it. It's a ballot that gets taken. And so if you get voted, you're kind of like, wow, you know, the people that you work with really see what you put into the job.
Right.
Yeah, so, that's got to feel great then.
It does.
To get awesome. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, there's so many of us on different squads, but that we could come together and sit and go, recognize that Megan's been outstanding this year. She's always at work. She's always there when called upon, on call as usual. We always there all the time. We have no life. And that her call sets are outstanding. She'll take whatever she needs to take one for the team. That's what it's about. That's what it is, a family, when you come into 911 Center. That we're all there, that we all put on our vests and we sit down on that phone and we do it together.
Right.
Because like they say, cliche is no I in team. We are a team.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it kind of goes to everybody, even though they pick the one person that they give it to. It's really everybody that's on your team that deserves it. It's not really just for one person, because I couldn't do the job alone.
Yes.
You have to have your entire squad there with you. So it's kind of like a bittersweet moment to accept it, because you want to give it to everybody that you work with.
But I would run with it, though. I mean, it felt good to be recognized because eventually what comes is she'll go to the town meeting, and they have a town meeting in our
city. And you don't know about it.
She doesn't know about it until she gets about it. But it's upcoming. She'll be surprised. You get your award. You get recognized. You get recognized by the board.
Yeah, that, you county know, commissioners.
County commissioners, that this is the great work that you've done. It's team, but that moment that you recognize that all that I have been learning for this whole year paid off.
So, okay, so you said that there's 8 people there
One time? At the one time, there's probably 14, there's between 14 and 16 working at a time.
Yeah. Okay, well, people listening right now, you didn't see my jaw, but it literally dropped. where I work, our minimum staffing to run the entire county is 3 people.
Wow.
And my mouth is dropping now, because I don't know how y'all do that.
And working with the same 3 people?
Yeah, well, we've got
every variety. You know, we have 14 to 16 people.
Yeah, you know, at being here and learning, when we met in the meeting the other day, learning that some of the counties are that small, but I mean, they're huge counties and they may have one or two people working.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine running New Hanover County with one or two people. Uh-oh. It wouldn't work.
Yeah, we have three as a minimum, okay. But right now we've got enough people where we can have four people on at one time. And then, you know, sometimes we'll stack up and we'll have five because we have only five consoles.
Okay.
Just a couple days ago, though, we had some severe thunderstorms going through, and one of my partners was sitting next to me, and there was only three of us there at the time. I said, you need to set off the siren. It just came over in the National Weather Service that there's a tornado warning. You have to hit the siren. And she says, okay, I'm going to hit it. And I said, get ready. I said, because it's going to go crazy. And so she hit the siren, and no later did she hit the siren. All of our lights just started going up, incoming call, incoming call, incoming call. And I looked at her, and I was on the main law enforcement radio channel.
Wow.
So I said, here we go. And so there, between her and our one call taker that we had that was working, they're both just taking calls and going. And I'm on radios, and the officers are calling up, trying to do things. And I said, you need to stand by. You need to stand by. Your power just went out. And we were only there. Because every Wednesday we have a 4-hour shift, which is kind of weird. But we were there for just those 4 hours.
Okay.
Well, my partner and I ended up staying until 4 a.m. So we were working from, I think it was like 9 to 1, but we stayed until 4 a.m. because of how nuts it went. So for you guys to say that you guys have that many people, I wish we had that many people.
Happens, we get 18 to 20. I mean, because we have 20 consoles. Mm-hmm. So then we actually fill the rest of those consoles when something that crazy happens. If they're calling for a tropical storm, mm-hmm. then we have people on standby to come in.
So how do you do it then? If you're calling people in, does somebody actually call them, or do you guys have like a group text thing? Because what we were thinking of doing is when we have a lot of bad winter weather and we need people to come in, you know, we were thinking of implementing some sort of like text message, a group text to everybody. You know, it's going crazy in here, or even for that tornado that we had set off for the mm-hmm. siren. Do you guys do something like that, or do you just have somebody call?
We don't set off sirens, but we do have group texting. Uh-huh. Our director, our supervisor, mm-hmm. our assistant. That's if it gets to the point that it becomes a tornado warning, bad weather, tropical storm, hurricane. We get a group text, and then we also have it set up for the phone call. We get notarized alerted two ways, and it's the text, and then there's the email. So they will send it out countywide. Every county employee will get that.
Wow.
This is what's going on. We need you, come in.
And most of the times they don't even have to call for volunteers. People will just call in there. You know, Eric will call the mm-hmm. the other supervisors. Hey, you need some help? All right, I'll be right in.
Yeah, I have no life, so I will call in.
That is a running joke with 911. You know, I'm a supervisor now, but before I used to joke with my supervisor saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to make me work weekends, holidays? You do that now. You know, I have to work at forced overtime. What else can you do?
that's the one thing I didn't understand about. Mm-hmm. My supervisor said, did you remember what you signed on the application when you signed the contract with us? I said, no, did I sign my soul? She said, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to give us a blood sample as well, a lock of your hair.
But this would be the only job that I would give everything to. This is the only job I'll give everything to.
That's awesome. So fun.
I mm-hmm. love this job. It's not the people. I love my family. This mm-hmm. is my second family.
Of course.
I love being around them. On my days off, I will call in, hey, what y'all doing? Is it busy? I'm coming in. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Now, you were talking about just right now, you said, you know, having fun and everything. And before we started recording, we were joking around and talking about singing and stuff. And I wanted to say it right away, but I thought, no, I'm going to save it because I got to save it for this. My team, when we, you know, I work midnights. So, and my co-host Whitney, actually, who was unable to be here with me this time, but she's on my team. And like I said before, there's four people on a team. And when it gets to about 3 a.m. or so, and there's nothing going on, and you're trying to stay awake, we all start singing. I mean, just the most recent time we did this, we were doing the sound effects to Super Mario Brothers. They're like, did it, did it, did it.
Oh my
god. Did it, did it, did it.
Boop, boop, boop.
boop.
Exactly.
That's how I start my night off.
And we just started going in around, and it was nuts. Yeah. And because there was nothing going on, and we were trying to stay awake. And then there was even one night that we were singing Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. And I mean, we were like, they're like, come on, Ricardo, get away up there. I was like, I can't do it. But one of the people on our team, Jill, she got way up there. She's like, magnifico. So, you know, you guys, when we were talking about that, I had to save that for this because, I mean, you work nights, right?
I used to work nights.
You used to work
when
nights.
I was pregnant with my second son, mm-hmm. they moved me to days.
Do you both work days then?
I work nights.
You work nights. Yeah, okay.
I'm a night owl.
But I'm going back tonight.
She's coming back for a visit.
For a couple months.
Nights is always more fun than mornings for some reason.
Nights is busy.
Yes.
It's busy with the true medical emergencies and the domestics and the drug
robberies.
Calls. You got to learn to speak drunkenese on nights.
Of course.
And during the day, it's more the somebody broke into my car overnight or somebody did this.
A report. A simple report.
He's not releasing my car to me. And it's not as, you know, the intense stuff that you really, and so I'm really excited about going to nights for 2 months so that I can get back that
because that
intensity.
Your intensity, you're in drilling, and you come in, I don't care how bad I'm feeling, I would come in and sit down and go, okay, first we look at our board to see where we're going to sit at what console and go, here it comes. Mm-hmm. And you sit down and you walk in and boom, there's a screen, there's a penny box, there's all the traffic waiting to be dispatched. And I go, okay, I'm good now. Bring it on.
Like, let's do this. I know exactly what you mean.
And speaking of the singing on nights, we actually decided to set one of our guy friends up one night, and we had these buttons on our console that would make them go out over the radio, as well as on our around our necks. And so a girl and I had gotten him to stand up, and he loved singing. What was he singing? Sister Act.
Oh my goodness. I can't think of a song.
Come on. I know you know.
Sister Act 1 or 2?
I believe it's
1. Sister Act 1.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many awesome songs on there.
There is. I can't think of it.
He was singing it, and he was singing
it. I Will Follow Him?
No. What is it?
It's the one where she's in the church, and she's finally trying to get them to sing for the first time, and the little
is it that one?
No, that was yeah.
Well, he really was getting into it. I mean, really into it. And so I told my coworker, I said, get him to stand up and sing with it.
Uh-huh.
So they're sitting there in the middle of the floor and they're singing, and I walk over very quietly and I push his mic button. He went out for 20 seconds singing that song over the radio. Mad wasn't even the word for what he was.
I bet.
He was
sometime
livid.
Sometimes you get an open mic.
Yeah. Accident.
Yeah.
Accidental open mic. And I was.
You got to have fun.
Of course.
I mean, that's
it
the
got
whole,
hooked
the
on
stress.
Me. And I got sent over the radio accidentally. And my sergeant said, great job. Because I was just bored and I stood up and I don't know how it got hooked to my chair and I was singing and it went out.
those moments are always fun.
And when we record it, it's recorded on playback. It's even hilarious. It's like, oh man, was that me?
Say that.
Oh man. Well, on that note, this is going to be the wrap up for this episode, and this was episode number 24. So thank you very, very much to both of
you,
Megan and Erica, for being on this episode with me.
Superstar.
Exactly. Yeah.
Superstar. I want to do this forever.
It's fun, yeah.
I just
want to
just
time.
Take us into the center and just talk.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you take over my dispatch, and I'm gonna go out here and play.
We need to have you come in the center and set up.
That would be awesome. How far are you guys?
Just want to say hello and let everybody know that Kristen, thank you so much for setting us up with us.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes, thank you.
And we're only 3 hours from here.
Maybe I'll head out there.
You have to look. The door's open.
That's
and you
awesome.
Think we're
going
to be in the
I'm
going to
go
hope.
Southern on him, as my pastor says. Our doors swing on open hinges. You're welcome.
That That's great. I'm going to have to take you guys up on that. Okay. Thank you very much. As always, everybody listening, you can email the show at thejcast@thejabberlog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at WTTPodcast. And you can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. And once again, this episode is sponsored by Nina and the cool kids of 911. Thank you guys very much. And
yes, thank you.
Later on, this episode will be up and available 24/7 on thejabberlog.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.